Okay, we started top of Memheim and Aleph. Yesterday we left off with the Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish explaining the machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. And we could try to conclude yesterday that Rabbi Yochanan was of the opinion that Beit Shammai holds that there has to be an opinion that holds that Zahav is never a good currency, is never a good coin. Because Rabbi Yochanan makes a statement about Asur Luvot Dinar B'Dinar, that one cannot lend a coin against a coin. You can't give a coin and get paid back a coin. Now, generally with money or currency, that's not a problem at all. So it has to be, must be the explanation for Rabbi Yochanan, is that we're talking about the Dinar Zahav, B'Dinar Zahav. If that's the case, Rabbi Yochanan must hold that Dinar Zahav, according to someone, Dinar Zahav is not considered currency, but considered payray, even on its own, even exchanging for itself. Now, the only way you could do that is if you explain that the machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, which is one of the tzadim that we gave yesterday, is even on gold itself, not simply about gold relative silver, but even gold itself, whether it's classified as currency or not. So now, the Gemara had concluded, Ushma Minah, Rabbi Yochanan, Hu Damar, Ein Mechalalim. That Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says Ein Mechalalim, according to Beit Shammai. As Tosfos points out, it's not necessarily that Rabbi Yochanan holds of Beit Shammai, but he's just explaining their position, or he holds like our Mishnah, which says Asav, right? In our Mishnah, it says Asav Kone Te Kesef. So our Mishnah says that Zahav is Kone Kesef, and maybe that Zahav extends the fact that there's pay rate not only against Kesef, but even beyond that. So Mar says, Lo. So this is 2, 4, 6 lines down from the top. Lo. The old Am, Emelechav Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar Mechavulina. No, we'll say Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says Michalina, that gold is a currency according to everybody. Right? The shiny halva is a difference because loans are different. Kevon Linyan Mekach Umemkar Shabu Rabbanan Kiperi. Just because by Mekach Umemkar the Rabbanan classified gold as payrot, the Amrina Ihu knew the Okir Bezil, the Gabe Halva. The Okir Bezil, because we say the gold is what changed the value. I mean, relative to silver, gold is the thing that moved up. The Gabi Halva, Nami Peri Ava. And also by Halva, we'll classify it as payrot as well. So if you use over here, the gold coins against silver fluctuate in value, which means that the currency, the money is silver. The gold is payrot. Now, gold relative to payrot is considered money or currency.
It is.
Now, the only question is about Halva. What's the status of Halva? So we say that by Halva, we're machmer by halva because of the issue of ribit, since in Mecca Chumev, against silver, it's classified as a payrate. Therefore, for halva, we're also going to classify it as being payrate, and we won't let you loan gold for gold. Hakanam mistava, that makes sense. The chiat the rabbin amr Rabbi Yochanan, when rabbin came, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, afa pi she'amru asur luvo dinar b'dinar. Even though we say it's a sword, it's a loan, a coin against a coin, meaning gold coin against a gold coin. Aval mechalin meiser sheni alav. But nevertheless, you can use it for meiser sheni. So Shema Minah, from there it's clear that Rabbi Yochanan believes that gold coins do act as a currency relative to payrot, because you can use them for meiser sheni. On the other hand, they are classified as payrei when it comes to halva, because you can't loan a dinar against a dinar. So what we're saying now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, until now what we thought in the position of Rabbi Yochanan is that if you say that by halva, by a loan, that you can't lend one coin against another coin, that's an indication that you believe that gold is never a currency. That means it's not good as a currency, not against silver, not against payrot, and not against itself. That was what we thought. Mark comes back and says, no, we could divide gold in half, like we did before, but we just didn't know which side to put halva on. We knew that gold against payrot is currency. Gold against silver is not currency. But now we'll just say halva. It doesn't belong on the payrot side. It doesn't belong on the currency side. It belongs on the payrot side. Because just we're machmir by halva. Because of the ribit, we say even though in general money is classified as currency against payrot, but since against silver it is considered payrot, therefore over here by halva we're going to classify it as payrot.
So any halva regarding gold.
Like payrot, right? It would be a sa'ab sa'a, and would be problematic according to Rabbi Yochanan. So therefore, now we can say for sure Rabbi Yochanan's the other opinion in the machlokas. Before we had two ways to explain the machlokas Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Either that the machlokas is only about payrot al dinarim, but when it comes to the dahava, payrot and dahava, everybody agrees that you are mechavad dinan, Right? That sad before we thought was Reish Lakish. Now we're saying, no, that's Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan believes that the Ava is a good currency regarding Perot. Hava is the exception. Whereas the other tzad, which we said before we thought was Rabbi Yochanan, was that they argue not only by Perot, by silver on the gold, but also by Perot on gold. They think that Dava is not a currency at all. Originally we thought that was the position of Rabbi Yochanan, and now we're showing no, that Rabbi Yochanan does believe it is a currency, and that now will be the position of Reish Lakish. Now the Gemara says, Tashma, Hapuret Sela Mima'ot Maaser Sheni. So Mishnah about Maaser Sheni, if you're taking money up to Yerushalayim and you want to consolidate the money that you have your money and you want to take it and consolidate it. So now, Beit Shammai Omim, B'chol HaSela Ma'ot. Right, if you want to take it up, you should place all the Ma'ot, you should put everything onto a Sela. Beit Halel Omim, Shekel Kesef, B'Shekel Ma'ot. You should do half and half. So now, what's the situation over here? Situation is that we have different coins, different types of coins. You have gold coins, you have silver coins, and we have copper coins. Now, the problem with copper coins is, first of all, they're of lower denominations, so you have to take up more of them, number one. And number two is you have the possibility, we'll see later on, they make up short, that they go bad. So the best coin to take things up in terms of duration is silver, because silver lasts and there's nothing going wrong with silver and it's easy to use. So silver would be the best way to carry it up. The most consolidated way to take it up usually would be on gold coins, because they have the biggest denomination in terms of, they have 25 silver dinarim to 1 dinar zahav. So that's the easiest way in terms of consolidation. Now, for spending money and for change when you get there, the best coin to have is copper. So now you have different reasons to have each type of coin. You want to have copper coins because they're easiest, when you get up there, you have small change you can spend right away. On the other hand, silver coins are better because they are the going currency, they don't go bad. Then you have gold coins, which are the best from a perspective of consolidating, but the worst from the perspective of being able to spend the money when you get there, because they're not easily divisible, they're not easily used as a currency. So now, when you're going up, and you have these ma'ot, you have these copper coins, what should you do with them? That's machloket, Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai says, take the ma'ot, take all the copper coins, and make them into b'chosel ma'ot, make them all into silver. Put them all onto silver coins, and then you go up to Yerushalayim. Beit Hillel Omrim, no, put a half of them, a shekel kesef, u shekel ma'ot. Take half of them and make them into silver, consolidate them onto silver. The other half you should keep as copper. Now why? Rashi explains the reason for Beit Hillel. It doesn't explain Beit Shammai's reasoning. It explains Beit Hillel's reasoning. Because kishiyavosham, he tzarich leprutot miyat. Person's going to need copper coins change to spend right away. If everybody comes up with silver and needs copper, what's that going to do? It's going to make the cost of copper coins are going to go up in value because they're going to be in high demand. And that's going to cause Maaser Sheni to lose out over here because there will be a demand, high demand for copper coins. So what we say is bring half in copper and half in silver. So once you have copper, once you get up there, you can spend the copper. And once you're spending copper, there will be copper available, and then when you need to go change it, you can change your silver into copper. That's the reasoning for Beit Hillel. Now, on the other hand, Rashi only explains the position of Beit Hillel. He does not explain why Beit Shammai says make it all into silver. So Tosfos also explains that over here. To Rashi does it here, and he does it in the following Mishnah that we're going to quote from Maaser Sheni. He also does not explain the position of Beit Shammai, only the position of Beit Hillel. So now, Tosfos explains what the position of Beit Shammai is. He says, "L'kach nira Beit Shammai dafka b'chol haselah kamri, lo yachlif beizu gimel pamim, shkol pam mistaker ha-chenvani, v'nimtza mafsid maaser sheni." Says, what happens if you have to keep changing money? I mean, every time you change money, or if you change money multiple times, then who benefits? The only one who benefits is the money changer. So we don't want you doing multiple different types of, we do one shot one way, one shot the other way, and therefore there's no problems with losing money for Maaser Sheni, right? Or Ve'yir Yoshlemar Dachat Dach.
There's a better answer.
Ve'yir Yoshlemar Dachat Chodavka Yiten B'chol Haselam Ha'ot Shlo Yitavshu B'derech Kodem Shegiu D'Sham. That's the other answer. The first answer probably relates more to the next Mishnah we're going to read. The second answer, which is the reason that we say to make it to silver at all. One is convenience, which is less coins to get up, but the other one is that copper goes bad. And if it's a long way to get up there, it's going to take time to get up there, then we're afraid that the copper goes bad on the way. So use silver in order to protect the coins, And then once you get to Yerushalayim, you change them back into copper, because there we don't worry about you spending, there you have to spend the money. Right, based on this mission that we just read, Hashto, the Beit Shammai, the Gabi Prite, Michalolinan, right, it's obvious that you can redeem the payrot on copper coins. Why? Because otherwise, why are you making copper into silver coins? I mean, the only way you could have copper coins of Maisa Sheni to make them, or have the need to put them into silver coins, is because you were pode Maisa Perot, Maisa Sheni, onto these copper coins. The Gabi Dabo Mibaye. Right? So, if, when it's with regards to copper, right, we know that you can exchange Perot, Maisa Sheni, onto copper by gold coins, you have to tell me about it. I mean, the Gemara's assumption at this point is that gold is definitely a better coin than copper. Right? So if copper is classified as currency and money relative to Maaser Sheni or Peirot, then certainly, Al Chaskam Mekamo by Da'avo, it's got to be that that's the case. This is not Shiny. Prite Ba'ashu Desagi and Harife. That's not true, because there are instances where copper coins are so plentiful and they are the going currency. Therefore, they are also, right, classified as currency, and even above Davo, even more so than gold. So that's, the Gemara tried to reject the possibility that Beit Shammai would hold that Davo is not a currency at all from this Mishnah. Because this Mishnah seems to indicate you could always use copper as an exchange for payrot. Then certainly you could use Davo, because that's not a kav chomer. Because copper sometimes is a better currency than gold. So you have no proof from that. So based on the first Lishna, we're going to actually have three Lishanot about what the Machlokas Beit Shlakish and Rabbi Yochanan are. The first one is that the Machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel revolves around whether you can exchange silver onto gold. And that both Beit Shlakish and Rabbi Yochanan agree, that Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai disagree about, is whether, what's the relationship between gold and silver? They disagree, Rabbi Yochanan and Beit Shlakish, about what is gold's relationship to Peirot. And according to one of them, which we now know is Rabbi Yochanan, that gold is classified as a currency with regards to peirot. According to Beit Shlakish, gold is not classified as a currency at all. It is just not a currency. It's not relative. It's just not a currency at all. So that's the first Lishna in the Machlokas between Beit Hillel and Shammai. I explained Rabbi Yochanan and Beit Shlakish. Lishna Achrina. So now we have another Lashon to explain the Machlokas. Imri La, Rabbi Yochanan, Beit Shlakish. Right, there is, but Rabbi Yochanan Rishon explained the machlokas Beit Hillel and Shammai. Chadamar machloket bislaim al dinarim. One says that the machlokas is slaim al dinarim, right, which is silver onto gold. Beit Shammai sari hakesef kesef rishon, but not for the reason that we said before, which is that relative to silver, what's the status of gold as a currency? Rather, we have a separate problem about Maaser Sheni, which is that you're only allowed to exchange your Maaser Sheni onto kesef, onto money once. You're not allowed to then take the. All right, yeah, we'll explain it, right? That the issue here is simply about taking monetary Maaser Sheni, meaning that taking money of Maaser Sheni and exchanging it onto other money, which is you have silver coins that are of Maaser Sheni, now you want to place them onto gold coins. You have currency and currency, you can't move them from money to money. That's the problem here. The Beit Shammai Sabi Kesef, are Kesef Rishon, but Kesef Sheni. That only the first, you can only exchange the peirot onto currency once. You cannot then exchange it an additional time onto currency. Or Beit Hillel Sabrei HaKesef, Kesef Riba. Right, that Kesef, the word Kesef applies to, appears twice in the Pasuk. So therefore, Beit Shammai learns HaKesef, Kesef, means only one Kesef and no more. And Beit Hillel learns, no, Kesef Kesef comes to be, Mirabeh is Ribui. Ba'afilu Kesef Shini, Aval Peirot Al Dinarim, Divri Akol Michalolina. Like you're saying, David, this is unique to Maaser Sheni. This is just an issue for Maaser Sheni, which is you can't move money to money. But everybody agrees the peirot on Da'afa would work. Dakate Kesef Rishonu, because then it's still Kesef Rishon. Even when you put it onto gold, gold is a good currency, and it's classified, if you're doing it for the first time, it's Kesef Rishon. Then even Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel will agree that you can use it. The other end, Bechadamar, after peirot on Dinarim, Nami Machloket. That this machloket extends beyond that. That it's even on peirot al dinarim, meaning that their machlokas is about whether gold is classified as a currency or not. That's what their machlokas is about. Well, the manda amar, slayim al dinarim machloket, the one who says that the machloket is about slayim al dinarim, ad mifligay bislayim al dinarim, liflugay bislayim aslayim. According to the one who says that it's a problem in kesef to kesef, meaning currency to currency, why do you have to have the case be here, or the machlokus between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, be in the Mishnah about silver coins onto gold coins? Make it silver to silver. The machlokus will be the same machlokus. It's just the issue is currency to currency, not about relative what currency to what currency. Where it says, "Iyachu gave slain aslain." Had the machlokus been about silver to silver, I would have thought their machlokus only exists about silver to silver. That maybe Beit Hillel then would agree to Beit Shammai, right, that you can't do it. Why? Because gold relative to silver is classified as peirot. So the way we have the machlokas set up right now is Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai disagree both from silver to silver and silver to gold. That Beit Hillel thinks that silver to gold is considered currency to currency and that's allowed. But if we said that the machlokas, or we explained the machlokas in the Mishnah about from silver to silver, I would have thought that only silver to silver does Beit Hillel say that's classified as currency to currency. But silver to dava, that'd be like currency to peirot, and that you certainly can't do outside of Yerushalayim. You can't take your silver and put it onto peirot when it comes to Ma'aser Sheni. So therefore, the Mishnah comes to teach us that even by silver to gold, Beit Hillel classifies that as currency to currency, and you can do it. You can do it. Right, so therefore, we would have thought that would mean a velo mechalinat. We would have thought you couldn't do it, kamash malan, that you can do it. So that's why we allow
it. Why would I think there would be a difference?
Because we would think gold is relative to silver is pay rate. Gold relative to silver is pay rate, then you can't exchange it. If it's silver to silver, that's currency to currency. That because says no problem. Kesef, kesef, riba. But when you're talking about kesef, silver to gold, you're talking about relative to silver, our gold is pay rate, so I can't do it. Now, tashma. The problem with explaining the machloket this way is aporet sela shomaiser sheni birushalayim. Now this is the opposite of what we had before. Before we were saying that you had copper coins and you want to consolidate them to take them up to Yerushalayim. Now you've reached Yerushalayim with your coins and you want to get change for your coins. So now Beit Shammai omrim b'chola sela ma'ot that you should once you're going to exchange it the whole silver into copper, get change, break down the entire silver coin right away. Divide it in half. Right? Only do half. Do half in silver and half in copper. Again, Rashi only explains the reasoning behind Beit Hillel. Rashi explains what's the reason for Beit Hillel? What happens if you don't spend all the money? If you don't spend all the money, then having copper coins is not a good idea. Because copper coins do not last and do not stay. So if you change half and half, then you'll use the copper coins that are here. If you don't use whatever you don't use up, you'll still have in silver. It'll still be consolidated on silver. So that's the way Beit Hillel explains it. So then what's the reasoning behind Beit Shammai? That they say divide the whole thing up and all into copper right away. That we saw in Tosfos before. Tosfos says we don't want you exchanging multiple times. If you exchange multiple times, the only person to benefit is the money changer. And then Beis Ma'aser Sheni loses out. So we say exchange the whole thing in one shot, silver to copper right away. Now,
situation there is they're running the risk of
Moshe
losing more money.
Right, so that's the right. So obviously the machlok between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai is which is the longer term issue, right?
Longer,
exactly. It's a way they're weighing which risk is right, more relevant over here. Now the Gemara says Hashto Kaspo Legabe Prite Mechalulina. Over here you can flip silver into copper. We see both Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai allow you to exchange currency to currency over here in Yerushalayim. You want to talk about it? If you could do silver to copper, then certainly silver to gold should work, according to everyone. How can you explain the machlokas between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai being about whether you can switch currency to currency in silver to gold? Here we say silver to copper, everybody agrees it works. And we don't say kesef, kesef, rishon, below kesef sheni. How could you say that? So Mar says, no, Amarava Yerushalayim kamot tuchad. You're asking about Yerushalayim, shiny Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is different. D'tibbe v'natata kesef v'chol asher tav'en nafshecha. V'vachar v'vatzom. I mean, that's the whole purpose of bringing the money up to Yerushalayim, is to exchange the money into peyre. That's exactly why you're bringing up coins to Yerushalayim, because then you're going to spend the money in Yerushalayim on animals, on fruits. Exactly what you're trying to do in Yerushalayim is buy fruits. So that's good. That's exactly. So there you want to bring silver into copper. That's classified as payment. Silver into gold, that could still be a problem with kesef kesef, which we don't want you to do inside of Yerushalayim. Right? Obviously, Tosfos says the obvious question, which is when the Torah says that you can start to lie by pirot or achiva in Yerushalayim, we have certain qualifications about what you're allowed to buy in Yerushalayim. You're only allowed to buy, it's a davar gidlo min hakarka, a peret that it gives birth, all these qualifications. But this says, no, really, the qualifications are just coming to exclude mayim and melech. That's what you're not allowed to buy in Yerushalayim. But buying copper coins is classified as within that framework of the pasuk, because those copper coins will let you buy animals and peyrot. So anything that would naturally, even though they themselves are not, they don't fit the description of the pasuk, nevertheless, because they can be used to buy that which is in the pasuk, they're already classified as peyrot. So now Gemara says, Tashma, what about our previous mission that we discussed between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? Apurit, selam imaot maser sheni. Right, then take the entire amount and place it into silver. Right, there you can move it into shekel kesef shekel maot, because the maot are ma'aser sheni, and you want to consolidate them onto a silver coin. So Beit Shammai omrim b'chol ha'sela maot, take all the maot and place them into a sela. Beit Hillel omrim b'shekel kesef b'shekel maot, half of them you consolidate onto silver, half of them you consolidate onto copper. Ella. So it's clear here that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel allow for coin consolidation, right? Meaning that they allow you to move from coin to coin. Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, so you can explain it over here, that they allow you to do this. Ela dekuliyama akesef kesef riba. It's clear from this Mishnah that everybody holds, what? That kesef kesef riba. Vafilu kesef sheni. Even kesef sheni, so that can't be the explanation of their machloket that we saw before. That the machloket can't be from the mission that we discussed before, being whether you're allowed to exchange coins at the coins. Because here we have the mission that we brought earlier on the Amud, which shows that everybody, Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, agree that coin to coin is not a problem, even when you're consolidating. So if you want to say inside Yerushalayim it's different, here you have a mission that's discussing outside of Yerushalayim, and nevertheless Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai say that you can exchange coin to coin. So that we drop that explanation. Eli Itmar, the Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Yochanan, Zachi Itmar. Let's explain the machlokas this way. So now, Chadamar machloket b'slaim al dinarim. One of them says the machlokas is whether you can place slaim al dinarim. You can put silver onto gold. The Beit Shammai says Rinan gizrinan shemishay aliotav. One of them says, well, what are we worried about? If we allow you to exchange silver onto gold, then what you're going to do is, you have to have 25 silver coins in order to get into a gold coin. The benefit of taking up a gold coin is it's much lighter to take up to Yerushalayim. So what's going to happen? A guy only has 20 silver coins. He's not going to take them up immediately. He'll wait for the next year until he gets more silver coins, and he can get them onto a single gold coin. So Beit Shammai says, don't do that, because Shem Yishaya Liyotav. We don't want you delaying. You're going up to Yerushalayim. The same thing to Malu Zuzeb Dinari. Maybe you have a point where he doesn't have enough silver coins to reach a single gold coin. Below Masik, and it may say he won't go up to Yerushalayim. Or Beit Hillel, Savrei Logazarina and Shemisha Eliotav. He's not going to wait. Techilo Malu, now he'd be dinner on Suki Masiklu. He doesn't reach to a gold coin. He's just going to take the silver coins up. They won't be so many. It's only once he reaches 25, he has so many silver coins, he's going to consolidate them onto a gold coin. But before that point, if he has silver coins, he's going to carry those up to Yerushalayim. Everybody agrees that gold is currency. Gold is currency, therefore you can exchange Maaser Sheni onto gold because it's classified as a currency. And even silver onto gold, really, Min HaTorah is classified as a currency, and you could exchange it. The only question that Machlokes being made to Hillel, which you might hear, is whether silver to gold, is there a gzeira or not? Is there a gzeira? We're worried that the guy... Right, or a currency. If everybody agrees it's a currency. If it's a currency, then you could exchange it, because we say kesef, kesef, riba, then everybody agrees you can exchange Maaser Sheni kesef onto other kesef. The only question is whether we have this gzeira, whether we're afraid he will hold back from going into Yerushalayim because he wants to consolidate onto a gold coin. V'charamar, afilu peirot al dinarim, nachnami machloket. And obviously the other opinion is that this machlokes Beit Hillel Beit Shammai extends even to peirot, whether gold is currency whatsoever. Is gold classified as a currency or not classified as a currency? That is machloket. So now, based on this, we actually had three ways to explain the machloket between Beit Shalom, Beit Shammai, according to Yochanan and Reish Lakish. The first way, which is what we did yesterday, the machloket is about whether gold relative to silver is classified as a currency. Beit Hillel holds that gold relative to silver is a currency, And Beit Shammai says gold relative to silver is peirot. Then, but that's only relative to silver. Relative to peirot, gold is clearly a currency. That was one opinion. The other opinion, according to what we know now, is Reish Lakish's opinion. Then gold always is not classified as a currency. It is just pay rate across the board. That's why it cannot exchange for silver according to Beit Shammai. And that's why it cannot, pay rate to Meisa Sheni cannot be placed on gold coins. It's
the
always fair.
The words concluded that we're not, in the end we don't explain the machlokas that way. Right?
No, we could explain it that way. We have a Lishna Achrina, but it doesn't mean that we don't explain.
Lishna Achrina is not really a rejection of the...
Not necessarily. I mean, we pass them like this last, according to Rebbeinu Hanan, we pass them like the last explanation, the third explanation, but... The other two, the middle explanation does have a problem with it, and that the Gemara rejects. It's clear there the Gemara rejects the second explanation. The Gemara does not necessarily reject the first explanation. It's just an alternative explanation. So that first explanation, Reish Lakish believes that Da'aba is never a currency according to Beit Shammai, and according to Beit Hillel, it is always classified as a currency. That means it works. Even if we're relative to silver, it always be classified as a currency. So that's the first way to explain the machlokas between Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai, according to Rechabi Elf and Reish Lakish. The second way to explain the machlokas, which is the one that gets rejected, and brings us to the third one, is the second way to explain the machlokas is about the question of the Gzerat HaKatuv, or what does the Pasuk mean? When we say a Kesef, does it mean Kesef Rishon, lo Kesef Sheni? The only problem is a question of currency to currency, versus a Kesef Kesef Riba, or does it mean that currency to currency is allowed? So Beit Hillel says currency to currency is allowed. Beit Shammai says currency to currency is not allowed by Meisa Sheni. But their machlokas is limited to Meisa Sheni, because that's the Gzeirat HaKatuv. Outside of Meisa Sheni, everybody agrees, peirot da'aba is currency, that it is a good currency, and you can exchange the peirot onto it. The other opinion will be, right, the opinion, well, second opinion about what the machlokas will be, is that no, that da'aba, whether it's currency at all, classified yes or no as currency. So that would be the machlokas according to Rabbi Yochanan Meisa Lakish.
Never
it will be classified as a currency. And therefore, the machlokas between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai will simply be limited to Meisa Sheni, right? But about what's the status of Da'aba and Meisa Sheni, according to one of them, it's all about currency to currency exchanges in Meisa Sheni. According to the other, it's about Da'aba at all, which is whether it's a currency at all. Mar rejects that explanation because we see in other places Beit Shammai says that currency to currency is allowed. For instance, you're allowed to consolidate your copper coins onto silver coins when you're going up to Yerushalayim. And Beit Shammai, that's explicitly Beit Shammai's opinion. We first tried to say that was unique to Yerushalayim. That's why Beit Shammai said it was allowed there. But then we said we have another explicit mission. We can do it even outside of Yerushalayim, consolidating coins. So it's clear that cannot be the explanation. That's rejection of the second explanation. The third explanation, which we just gave now, is all about Gzeira. Everybody agrees, according to one opinion, that Da'aba is a currency. Da'aba is a currency, even relative to silver, it would be classified as a currency. The only question is, do we make a Gzeira here or not? Is there a gzeira that we worry you exchanging current silver onto gold, which you'll wait? Since it's allowed, kesef riba, currency to currency is allowed. We're worried about you waiting to consolidate it onto gold coins. So we say, don't wait, go up. That's Beit Shammai's opinion. Beit Hillel says, no. Nobody's going to wait. If they don't have that many silver coins, they're just going to take the silver coins up. So it's simply about that gzeira. On the other hand, the other tzad, according to the other opinion of Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, that Da'aba is never a currency. Gold is never a currency. And it won't work, no matter what. So that would be their final way of explaining. So
my last one is, whether it's Meisa Sheni or standard, is the issue of
the issue is not Meisa Sheni anymore, because Meisa Sheni permits currency.
In general, it would be a problem. And,
so it depends. One side will say that Da'aba is currency in other places. The other one
says
that
says it's not.
It's not ever,
then
right?
Then you have a problem.
By lending coin to coin, right? So... According to this last lashon, which says that from the Torah, you're allowed to exchange coin for coin in Meisr Sheni, currency to currency allowed. Rabbanan hu de gazru bay, and the only machlok is whether it's a gzera de Rabbanan. Then we could say, hainu dektani yaseh velo yaseh. That means the way the explanation of the Mishnah is, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are giving you advice about how to consolidate your coins. I mean, if you take coins and you consolidate them, then do this or do that. And that was the mission that we had before. The Shemayim Ben Liya said, "Dam slaim dinarizah." Beit Hillel matirin. So Beit Shammai says, "Don't make your silver coins into gold coins." And Beit Hillel says, "It's okay to do it." So when you're talking about a din derabanan, we can say, "Don't do this or do this." Whereas if you're talking about a din deraisa, this is not a recommendation. This is asur and mutar. So to lose the lashon of yaseh, lo yaseh, sounds, that works well according to one who says, like this last lashon we had, which is that it's a gzeira dirabanan. On the other hand, but half nishna that might be doraisa pligay. Let's say that they argue even on the doraisa level, then michalalina and velo michalalina and mibaye. Then what? Why would you say right? Yes, velo yes. You should say yes, you can, or no, you can't. That's the only issue at hand here. Yes or no, and then that will be left. That lashon doesn't make sense, and therefore we leave it as a kasha. We leave it as a question. I would say based on this. Now we just rejected, Shaul, for you, now we just rejected the first Lashon as well. Right, so now we have three Lashonot. Right, until this point, we did the first Lashon was fine. The second Lashon, we ran into a problem, we rejected it right away. Then we came up with the third Lashon. Now what the Gemara just said is the first versus the third Lashon. The first Lashon is problematic because if the issue is a derisive level issue, the Lashon in the Mishnah does not make so much sense.
This question This question also attacks the second.
Right, it will. Having not had a problem with the second, it will also ruin the second. It's already been disposed of, but yes, you're right. So that's Rabbeinu Hanan. Rabbeinu Hanan here, he says, "Ba'achin sugya d'shmaik dekai lishna." The sugya works according to Lashon, shum gzeira. And it's because of gzeira. Why? Because the lishna kama alta b'kushya. The first Lashon now is under a question, so Rabbeinu Hanan says that means that the last one is. Sugya on the Beit Hillel, Dava Tibab. Based on that, according to Beit Hillel, gold is currency. That's the conclusion of the Gemara here, that Beit Hillel holds that silver, that gold is always a currency. Everybody, meaning according to, whether you say Rish Lakish or Rabbi Yochanan, both of them hold, right, that silver, gold is classified as a currency. V'adamar, Haitano, Sover, Tatava, Tibahabi. Right, so, that, which Rova says, that this Tano holds that gold is right, tivo is considered amdo. That stays. Halacha. Ustam lan asana of koinet akesef. What do you mean? What do we do with our Mishnah? Our Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah, it says zahav is koinet akesef, which means zahav is peyreg and not currency. The mashma dava peyrehava islan ukma to the kave kasva balochud having peyreg. It says that that state, the conclusion of the Gemara will be based on what we've reached until this point is. Gold is good currency. The exception about gold being good currency is only relative to silver. That's our Mishnah. That's that Mishnah from Rabbeinu Hananel.
In other words, in that type of transaction, you need to call one of them the thing that's being right. Purchased. Right? Right.
It could be. That's the problem. It could be damim b'damim, which could be. It could be money-to-money transaction.
Right.
We'll see.
Then at what point then is the transaction effective?
Then you can't, right? That's the problem. With damim b'damim, it would be a different type of transaction. It could be that it's currency to currency. But what the Rabbeinu Hanan is saying, no, that relative to silver, it is classified as a peyret. And it's always classified as a currency. We'll see in a minute, it won't be kone b'chalibin.
Clearly using it as money. It's money.
Right. So that would be the conclusion of our sugya. Now, he says, Rabbeinu Hanan, at the end of this thing, he says, El Amar Gaon. Right, we'll see in Tosfos who this Gaon is. Halacha dahava peyrehabit. He says gold coins are peyrot. Umiknei afilu bichalipin. And they can even be acquired through chalipin. So he quotes this, the Gaon. This is what the Rabbeinu Hanan is quoting over here, this Gaon, that says that dava, gold, is classified as peyrot. So that would not be the conclusion of our sugya. Our sugya seems to say that dava is a good coin. And he's saying, no, that they're peyrot. So now, Tosfos, and quoting the Rabbeinu Hananel, he says, Umiu, Rabbeinu Hananel perish, the Hachi Amar of Haigon, so that's who the Gon is, that the Dahava Peri Havi the Chomilek, that its gold is considered Perot for everything. But Shema, listen to this answer of Tosis, Shema Bimea Moraim, Ayazaya, Zahav Yotza, Bahutza, Babatiba, that during the time of the Moraim, gold coins were still active currency. And since they were active currency, the conclusion of the Gemara is that Dahava is Tiba, is considered currency, as long as it's not against silver, as we said in Rabbeinu Hananel. Ubimea Gaon la Yotze Klal. But once they reached the time of the Gaonim, gold was no longer classified as a currency. People did not use gold as currency. They used it as stored value, but not as currency. And therefore, the Kachamar Dava Peiret. Right. The gold standard. It was a shomer of value, but not as a standard. It was not as used as a standard currency. So Tosfos says that it actually could have changed. That the conclusion of our Gemara is clearly that gold is a currency. But why does the Rabbi go and say that it's not a currency? It may not because not because of the conclusion of the Gemara, but rather it has to do with the change in gold's The gold standard, the gold change, gold situation of gold, they changed. In the time that Morim was still used as a currency, in the time that Gaonim, it's no longer used or qualified as a currency. Like today. Like silver today is not necessarily coins, you know, I mean, you could have silver coins, but it's generally not used as an active coin. Dollars, right? The question is, are they really used as currency anymore, which is an interesting, would it be classified as currency, according to what we've been saying in the Gemara? Because nobody would go to the store and spend a silver dollar for a dollar.
I'm saying, but if you try to, the storekeeper, I don't think it's legally allowed to.
No, you won't reject it. Right. You'd be happy to accept it.
Dollar for dollar.
Alright, so Itmar. So we have a new sugi here. Rab Melevi, a focus between Rab Melevi. Chadamar, Matbea Nasech Halipin. Chadamar, Imabea Nasech Halipin. So this is a question about Halipin. We're now going to get into the sugi here in Bova Metzia of Halipin. How does Kinyan Chalipin work? Right, I'm not going to do now. We'll do this in the next day or two. We'll explain how does Chalipin work? What's the Chakira? What's the Svara behind Chalipin? I'll narrow it down over here to discuss what the Gemara is discussing. Now, Matbea, that's Gamil Chalipin. So now, if you want to exchange money, like say, for instance, money for money, currency for currency. So generally, when I exchange currency for currency, we're doing a transaction. We're doing Mekach u'Memkar. We are exchanging monetary value. We're not using Kinyan Chalipin in order to do this. Exchanging money for money. So there, if I want to, instead of using a exchange money for money, I want to use the coin, right, as a Kinyan Sugar. I want to use the coin as a Kinyan Chalipin. So if I want to use the coin as a Kinyan Chalipin, does it work? For instance, if I want to buy land. So if instead of giving money to buy the land, I do a Kinyan Chalipin on a coin for the land. Does that work as a Kinyan Chalipin, or does it not work as a Kinyan Chalipin? Can money function not only as money, can it also function as a sudar? Can it function as something that stands in for the Kinyan Chalipin? So now the Gemara says, well, it's Machlokas Rav and Levi. Amar Rav Papa, my time with the Madama in Matbea Naseh Chalipin. What is the reasoning behind the one who says that a Matbea does not become Chalipin? Mishom, the Date Absurta. Because the person's focus is on the Tzur'ah. The Tzur'ah Abhidat the Batlo. Person's focus when they use a coin, what makes the coin a good currency is the imprint on the coin, the image that's on the coin. That image can be, not that it wears down, it disappears, the Rashi explains that Nifsal is that sometimes the government takes coins out of circulation, which we know even happens today, that certain coins are taken out of circulation, right? You can't get a lira anymore, it's not good tender. So coins go out of circulation. If coins go out of circulation, the person therefore is somech on the tzura. The only reason that a coin is considered a good coin is not because of the fact that it's a shape of a coin, if it's a metal, certain metal, but rather because the image on it allows it to be good currency. So if a person's focused on the image that makes it into good currency, that image does not exist forever, and therefore we say it's not a good chalipin. What does that mean? So we'll see later on the Gemara is going to split. What's the difference?
I could use corn, right? And corn, if I leave it for too long, it's going to spoil. It's also going to be not good.
Right, so the explanation is, we're going to see later on, whether, what about the other way around? Can you be konek coins with chalipin? Right, the Gemara later on is going to discuss whether you can use a sugar to konek coins. So the Gemara says, maybe not. Now the explanation there, again, is that the focus on the tzura is going to, some of the achronim explain, the reason here is that for kinyan chalipin you need davar be'en. You need something that is existent, right, and is there right now. Something that you need to have davar, it has to be, as Rashi explains, it has to be davar misuyam and shalem. It has to be something that's definable and whole. That's the way Rashi explains it. But if you are looking at a coin, it's not choshuv aliyavit tzurishable. It's not because the item, it's the value being given to it is not the item itself. It's not the quantification of the item or the wholeness of the item that gives the value. It's simply the tzura on the item. So here, one of the definitions, one of the needs for a Kenyan Sudar is something that is Devar Misuyam V'Devar Shalim. More extensive, the Achronim extended even say that the only time a Kenyan Chalipin works is Devar Be'en. It only works on something that is actually in existence. For instance, you can't do a Kenyan Chalipin on Tovat Hanam. Something that does not exist, you can't do a Kenyan Chalipin on. So the same, if you extend that over here, you could even say that you're making a Kinyan Chalipin on something that does not exist, in a sense, because Tzura is just a representative type of value that's given here. It's not that the Tzura itself is not the value. It's the Tzura on top of the coin, but it's the Tzura in the context of where you're found now that gives it value. So had the Yisrael a Tzura is really the Tzura in a context. And that is something that's not, it's never slow to end. It's something that's not really there because it's all about, it's relative to the situation. And if you were to, you know, change that, right, like you were saying, it could change tomorrow, it could change in a year from now. But that Tzura is not something that is solid and defined. I mean, if it was about a coin that had no Tzura on it and that was good currency, then you wouldn't worry about it so much because it's the value of the coin that, it was actually the value of the metal that's creating the coin over here. But the fact is that the tsura is what makes it, in our context, currency, and that tsura is not something that is, you know, something that is, like, you know, that is the object that we're looking at over here.
It's kind of a funny story, though, because you want to be viewing the coin not as a coin right now, but as something you can do flip in.
Right.
So you want to view it as, in a sense, like as paper, as, you know, some type of merchandise. The fact that the tsura may be, you know, become obsolete is will cause it not to be accepted as a coin. If you come and say that a silver coin, it's still going to have its value as silver. Right? You won't be able to. So the thing that you really want it to be, to do chalipin, it's always going to be. It's going to have that inherent value of silver.
All right. So first of all, there is the other tab here. It's Rav and Levi argue. So you are articulating the other side. And number one is that the other opinion, please, that you're, that's not right. That the dato is alatsura. That whenever a person looks at a coin, they're not looking at whether the weight or the silver that's in it.
Even though they say they want to use it.
Yeah, it's a kid too. They still look at the tsura. They want to know if it's a good coin. So they look at the tsura and say, is this a good coin? So that's exactly what you're articulating to study. All right, it's Machlok, it's Rav and Levi here. All right, now, Tznan. Azav kone et kesef. Right, that's our Mishnah. Azav can be kone kesef, my love. What type of kinyan are you using in our Mishnah? Azav kone et kesef. It says, b'chalipin. Using a kinyan, chalipin. Ushma mina matbea nasa chalipin. So that you can see that a matbea coin can be used as chalipin. The Marsa's called bidamim. No, we're not using an exchange here of chalipin, but rather of damim. We discussed in the Mishnah Rashi brought down by Metatlin, there are two different ways to have a kinyan. You have a kinyan chalipin, you can have a kinyan damim. Kinyan damim is that we're exchanging value. We're not doing a kinyan chalipin here, we're exchanging value.
What was it going to happen that would be chalipin? It was chalipin. Why would it make a difference of kesef? I mean,
right.
It doesn't make any sense. It's obvious
that
one is a
kesef. Right. Azav kone et kesef. Right, so the if that's the case, why would you say azav kone et kesef? It should be mechayev mibayle. Right, so it should say mechayev because when you do kinyan and damim, right, what happens is I'm not saying we're not exchanging exact items. I'm not saying this silver coin for that gold coin. I'm saying this silver value for that silver value. So when I give you a gold coin, you're now obligated to return to me silver coins, value of that amount. Right, but here, what they're saying is that there's not that we're using kinyan chalipin, we're actually using exchange of value. If you're using exchange of value, it shouldn't be a zahav koneh et kesef, because not, by you're taking the zahav, you're not koneh et kesef. There's no, he's not obligated to give you these exact coins. You're not, all you're doing is obligating the individual now to pay you silver coins. He took your zahav, now he has to place. That, we don't know which silver coins, you've got to show up with this 25 silver coins in exchange for this gold coin. So then they should say mechayev. So Gemara says, tnei hazav mechayev. All right, you have a problem? Let's change the Mishnah to read Azav Mechayed. Sounds over here from the Gemara that they're actually amending the Mishnah to read Azav Mechayed. It also says that it's not exactly that, that they're not actually changing it. Ella, the word koneh means chayav in this case. Not that we're physically changing the reading of the Mishnah, but no, when you read the word koneh, don't say koneh, but really koneh can also mean mechayev. Right, so now, hakanami mistabro, that makes sense. Mekzani seifa. Right, so this is your question, Yosef. Right, what about the seifa? O kesef eno koneh tezav. Right, that was your question to start with, right? I know darmim tahav peret kaspa tiba. That's why we say over here that gold is peret and kaspa is tiba. Right, that gold is it's classified as peret and kaspa is currency. But tiba, right? So tiba peret lokani. So in that case, currency does not buy peret, right? I amart bichalipin. If you say that a coin is bichalipin, tarbayu liknei ahadadi. Why should marry a zavet a gosev or kesev a zav? Right, the only reason you can make a differentiate between the two of them is if you're doing it Torah Damim. You're doing it in terms of currency value. So if Davo is classified as payrot, when you're calling the payrot, that does create a situation in which the obligation is simply a monetary obligation out to pay. On the other hand, if it's silver, if you're calling silver, being calling money is not enough of a kinyan, because there is no kinyan of money for whatever reason. Again, whether it's a gezeirah de rabbanan or midoraisa, it doesn't work. Therefore, you can't be that the kesef will be koneh et hazav. All right, but if you explain the whole thing as a kinyan chalipin, then why should it be that a gold coin or a silver coin should matter in a kinyan chalipin? Vo, Tanya, we have another price. So kesef eno koneh et hazav. A kesef is not koneh zahav. Ketzer. Macharlo esir mechamisha dinar shel kesef v'dinar shel zahav. He sold him 25 gold silver coins for a gold coin. Afal bishu mashachet the kesef, even though he made a kinyan on the kesef, lo kana ashim shochet the zahav. He's not, that doesn't solve that the transaction is not over until you make a kinyan on the zahav. If you say that we're talking about monetary or value exchanges over here, that's why you're not koneh. If it's chalipin, why not be koneh? It must be that we're talking about here are value exchanges. So then about value exchanges. In value exchanges, when it comes to payrot, fine, if you make a kinyan on the value of the payrot, then you can obligate the coin on the other side. On the other hand, if you make a kinyan on coins, on currency, that doesn't obligate you in anything. So Yigmar says, Iyachi Eimer Resha. So how are you going to, what are you going to say about the Resha? Azab Koneh Ata Kesef. Azab Koneh Kesef. Ketzer, as this work. Marchalo Dinar Zahab, Besrim Mechamisha Dinar. Sells him a gold coin in exchange for 25 silver ones, Shel Kesef. Kemishu Mashachat Azab. As soon as he takes possession of the Zahab, Nikne Kesef, Bechol Makom Shehu. Wait, you get the Kesef wherever it is. Whoa. Kesef Bechol Makom Shehu, that's a problem. If you say that when I'm koneh the zahav, I'm obligated to pay you 25 silver coins, that's fine because that works as kinyan damin. Kinyan damin says I took kinyan on the payrolls, I owe you the value now of the 25 kinyan coins. So I make a kinyan on the gold coin, that now obligates me to pay you 25 silver coins. Doesn't obligate me to pay you any specific 25 silver coins. It obligates I'm now chayav to pay you money coins. Because the kinyan here cannot obligate me b'chol makom shehu. That can't be. The only time you can have a kinyan, which is kol makom shehu, is if you do a kinyan chalipin, which says that we're exchanging specific items. If you make a chalipin on the zav, I get the kesef, specific 25 silver coins. That works when you say kinyan chalipin. But if you talk about damim, where I owe you value, talking about specific coins or about anywhere they are, that doesn't make any sense in this context. Because all I've done is this gavra, I've obligated myself to now pay you 25 silver coins. Yomar pishlom chalipin, that works. Haidu tani nikne kesef kol makom shehu. If we're talking about value exchange, hi Nick the Kesef, Chol Makom Shehu, what are you talking about? Kesef, currency, anywhere it is. It's Chayim Gavra Mi Ba'ilei. The obligation now is on the Gavra, on the individual, to pay 25 silver coins. There's no, we're not Kone Chayfetz. You're not Kone specific 25 coins anywhere they are. So Amar Vashi, the Olam B'damim. No, the explanation here is it is exchange of value. Umay B'chol Makom, Shehu, Kamot Shehu. Like that. What do you mean? What does it mean, b'chol makom shu? Kamot shu, exactly like they are. Kedar malay, he says, if b'chol makom shu means, kamot shu means exactly as we agree. I mean that any tanaim, or any agreements that we have between us, must the obligation through the kinyan on the gold coin makes it that I have to carry out all of the tanaim. Not just that I have to give you 25 coins, but I have to give you 25 coins as we agree. What does that mean? Kedar malay. As exactly as I said to you. Iyam malay, mi'arniki chadasha, yabin Allah. Right, if he says so, I'm going to give you out of a new wallet or out of new coins. Lo matzivle manikayushana, you can't give it out of old coins. Apikal davdiza minayu, even though old coins are better. I mean, we know that these old coins are better currency than the new coins. Nevertheless, he has to give him the new coins. My time, damarle the yashanam kabayin and lulu, because he's going to say I need to keep them for a long time. If I need to keep them for a long time, I'm much better off getting new coins, even though they're not as good currency as the old coins, but I need new coins, I need more time. I need these coins to last for a much longer time. If I need them to last for a much longer time, I specifically want new coins, and I don't want old coins. So once you've made an agreement, and there's a kinyan of damim here, you have to do exactly as you agree. I mean that even external tanaim to the exchange, even though the exchange is about value, those external tanaim become a part of the transaction.
Even if it's
right, even as soon as you make a kinyan tamim. So Amar Papa, I feel the man demar ain't my peya nasei chalipin. But even though according to the one here, Ms. Machlokes Rabbi Levi, the one who says that my peya can't be used as the sudar for a chalipin, mi avid hu to lo avid chalipin, aknuye miknei bechalipin. On the other hand, it can function as a kinyan. It can be acquired through a kinyan chalipin. So a coin can't be used, according to one of this machlokes here, whether a coin can be used as chalipin or not be used as chalipin. But even according to the one who says a coin may not be used as the sudar itself, nevertheless, you can use a sudar to acquire coins. Coins can always be acquired.
I mean, you think there's a full parallel
right, between
correlation
them. Right, between them. Right, to me, did I have a paper? The Rav Nachman, he says, I'll give you an example, I can prove that to you because of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says that you can only use a kinyan for a sudar, you can only use a kli. A kli is the only item that can be used for a kinyan chalipin. But nevertheless, according to Rav Nachman, the Rav Nachman Peirei, the Rav Nachman Lav Avagav Deinu Lo Avdei Chalipin, even though they can't be used as the object of the Chalipin, Aknuya Miknei B'Chalipin, you can do a Kisudar, hidden Sudar on Peirot. So it's over here. All right, so B'Chalipin, Tiva Nami, Loshna. By coins, it should be the same thing. Even though coins can't be used as the object of the Chalipin, they can be acquired through
Chalipin. Rav Nachman definitely hold that.
So very good, excellent question. I waited till now to explain it. Rashi and Tosfos discuss it up above. How do Rav and Levi deal with Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman says you clearly need a kli. So if you clearly need a kli, does Rav Nachman argue on Rav and Levi? That's the question over here.
Well, according to one,
if they're even arguing about matbeah, that means what's the issue? Why don't they bring up the issue that's not a kli? Why do you have to say that it's matbeah?
Not sure
the
point to both of them.
Clean is not the issue here.
The only
question is, what's the cut? Right, exactly. So that's the way Rashi explains it. Rashi says, how luckily Maymar did lay the Rav Nachman, Dhamma the Kaman, can't explain it that it's based on Rav Nachman, the Enkonen El of the Clean, because the Nalo Ktiv, by in the Pasuk in Mut, it says, Na'alo, that uses Shu, the Imkain, Ad Mifkle, B'Matbeya, Lifkle, B'Chol Davar, Sheno Clean. I mean, that's what you just said before. Now, the only one said, no, the truth is, both of them can, because what is their Machlok? It's about a Matbeya. If their machlokas is about kli or no kli, then explain the machlokas that way to classify the machlokas or to mitzamtzein, right? They qualify the machlokas only being in matbeah shows you that they don't hold the Rav Nachman. That's Rashi's explanation. Tosfos on the other hand says no, that they don't argue on Rav Nachman, because that would be in the end. Now that means that Rav Nachman argues on Rav and Levi. But according to Rashi, Rashi says no, Rav and Levi, you can't explain them according to Rav Nachman. But that means that Rav Nachman now argues on Rav and Levi, which is not great. We don't want Rav. Why does Rav Nachman now argue on Rav and Levi? So Tosfos says no, that you have to say that there's an answer which says that Rav Nachman, this is not shayach to the machlokas of Rav Nachman. So he says, one possibility Tosfos gets is that, right, Mabeya is a kli. Tosfos says, Mabeya, mikre shap your kli. Right? And then, if it's a kli, then the machlokas here is, even when it's classified as a kli, is it a kinyan chalipin or not a kinyan chalipin? Right, so that's one possibility in Tosfos. So he says, he brings a second one, b'yishurim shechashu kli, l'fish yotzei b'hautza'a. Tosfos says that it's considered a kli because you can use it as currency, b'koni b'chol kol davar. Tosfos says he doesn't like that explanation. It says, he doesn't like that explanation. But rather, Tosfos says that it's called a kli because you can use it for other functions besides currency. So the one explanation Tosfos rejects, which is that it's, since it's a currency and you can buy kelim with it, it's classified as a kli. Tosfos said, I don't like that explanation. I think it's a kli, not because it itself is a kli, but it's a kli because it can be used in other functions. You can use it as a weight, a counterweight, and a balance. Right? You can use it as a counterweight. A coin can be used not only as a coin, but also for other purposes. This is answered. As opposed to Rashi, who thinks they are arguing here, explaining why they don't hold up Rav Nachman. Tosfos says, no, you're right, they're not arguing on Rav Nachman. That's because it is a kli over here. Okay, so that's why there's no machlokas. All right, very good. Haya omei begorin. He's standing in the goren, he's standing in the threshing area, and he has no money with him. He gives these perot to his friend as a gift. Why? Because if a person is pudeh, these perot are maeser sheni in them, if a person is pudeh his own maeser sheni, he has to add on an additional 20%. Right? He's ended up a chomesh. Whereas, which might actually be 25%, alright, but it's not a chomesh, right? But if they're owned by someone else, and you redeem the Maaser Sheni, if an independent, if a third party is reported there, then you don't have to add on that chomesh. So now, what does he do? He gives all his payroll to his friend, the friend who he knows is not going to walk off with the payroll, says, here, you take all my payroll, and then he's going to use his own money to redeem them, to redeem the Maaser Sheni. Says, Ari payroll, alo, natum lecha benatana, these are your payroll. V'chozer v'omer, Ari ein b'cholim amol sheish li b'bayit. Says, I'll exchange them onto the money that I have in the house. That money in the house will make the, that will become the Maaser Sheni. And these Beirot are now Chulin. Now, the Gemara says, time up. The advice given by this Tana is the Ein Biyado Ma'ot. Because he doesn't have money in his hand right now. Right? Ha! Im Yesh Biyado Ma'ot. If he had money in his hands right now, Liknehu Le'idach B'Mishicha. Then what could he do? He'd give the money to the other, his friend. Instead of giving him the Beirot, he'll give them the money. If he gives him the money, and he'll be koneh with mishicha, kinyan mishicha, he'll take the money, uporik, right? And then he'll redeem the payroll, d'achi odif, because that is even better, d'havalei nachri, because then it'll really be a third party that's redeeming it. In the haroma that he did before, he's giving him the payroll, and then he's exchanging him on his own money. But better situations, he gives him the money, and then he uses that money to exchange the maaser sheni over here. So now Gemara says, v'yamart matbea nikne b'chalipin. If you say that a matbea is nikne b'chalipin, nikne le ma'ot leheach agav sudar. So what's the problem here? The problem here is that the ma'ot are not right here, not in front of us. So you can't do the kinyan mashiach on the ma'ot to allow him to take the money instead of the payroll. That's why he goes in the payroll. If you're able to make a kinyan chalipin on ma'ot, on money, like Rav Papa just suggested, even according to one who says that money can't be the chalipin, but nevertheless you can make a kinyan chalipin on it, why not do a kinyan chalipin here and give him the money? Have a sudar there, give him a chalipin. Gilifrog, where it says, Beletlei sudar. He says he doesn't have a sudar there to do the kinyan. So why says, Nikdan le'ayi agav karka? Alright, so why doesn't he give him a kinyan agav karka? He has karka there. Deletlei karka. What do you mean, Deletlei karka? Who made the goren k'tani? He just harvested all of his stuff, and now he's taking out ma'aser sheni, what is karka? The goren sheni shalom. It's not his goren, but it's his produce, because he harvested his aris, whatever it was that he's chayav for via. So Gemara says, that's crazy. The Tana may come up with a crazy case to explain to us. True, you can use Kinyan Akav. True, you can use a Kinyan Chalipin. But this guy is naked and doesn't own any property. And that's why the case here is a case where he has to give him the payroll instead of money. That's crazy. It's such a far-fetched case. It must be. The answer must be that ain't my bein ikne bechalipin, that ain't ochanami. He is dressed over here. He may not have karka. That we can leave. He doesn't have karka. But he is dressed, and he can't do a Kenyan sudar, because a Kenyan sudar does not work on money. Doesn't work. Against what Rapapa says. Ramina, right? That Rapapa reject Rapapa's explanation. Right, yes. Oh, so, right. Then we go both ways. Very good. Because if you think that for certain, right, so if you look at...
Right, why
don't
we split and say that?
Right, very good. So you look at Tosus. Tosus is exactly what you just said. According to the one who says that the coin itself can be used for chalipin. Right, that's the Kal v'Chomer. I mean, that Rav Papa's all his explanations is that even according to the one who says it can't be chalipin, you can still be koneh through chalipin. But if you can't be koneh through chalipin, then certainly you can't make it into a coin into chalipin. That would
that
be
is
the,
true. I mean, right?
Yes, that's the halacha. The halacha is that you can't use it in either direction, and that comes back to what I was explaining before. What's the problem with chalipin on coins or with coins is that the focus is on the tzura. The tzura is not really something that's be'en. It's not something that is, right, misuyam, and it's shalem and be'en. Therefore, kinyan chalipin doesn't work on items that are not be'en or can't be. An item that is not be'en and shalem and misuyam, and it cannot be done on items that are not that manner. That's why it makes sense. It goes both ways. I mean, that the kinyan chalipin can't be the object of kinyan chalipin. It can't object that the kinyan chalipin is done with, and it cannot be the object of the kinyan chalipin over here. That's the conclusion. Now, the Gemara right now seems to be that it's not asking on Rav Papa. It's asking me that they're explaining the brisa. And because of the way they explain the brisa, that's going to become a problem for Rav Papa. You're not asking why didn't the brisa explain this according to Rav Papa. No. The brisa itself, why didn't it explain Kinyan Chalipin? Why didn't it explain Kinyan Agav? So Mari tried to say, it's not a case where they don't exist. Mari said, that's crazy. That's too far-fetched a case. Must be the case is that it could have been a Kinyan Agav. He doesn't have karka, but he didn't do a Kinyan Chalipin because it doesn't work. Once you explain the brisa that way, then it becomes a problem for Rav Papa. Then it's a cushion on Rav Papa once you explain the brisa that way. That's the way Tosus reads it. Rashi says it has nothing to do with Rav Papa, but we're going to see tomorrow's daf that Rav Papa also refers to his position over here that doesn't hold by his original standing position. Okay, we'll stop here.
Yeah.